Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hockey at the Rock. John, this feels like a repeat of last week in one way. Do you want to hear in what way?
Tell me. Tell the people, Dan. Tell me. Tell the people who matter.
Going into this stretch, you know, we could have said 2-1 on this road trip is pretty good. That's what we would expect out of this team, and that's the result that we got. But again, just like last week, the result that we got did not come to us in the pathway that we expected. Would you agree?
Certainly not, Dan. And I'd like to also add there's one more game on this road trip.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's in Colorado. And yeah, I know they lost to Las Vegas 7-0 recently. I'm still scared of that team.
Yes.
But nevertheless, I did not expect it to go down this way. And there's a massive elephant in the room as to why.
Well, maybe not in the room is more the problem.
Well, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, Dan.
Jack Hughes sustained an upper body injury, and the team has been especially squirrely with injuries this year for some reason, given Nico Hischier's upper body injury. And I don't know why it's more, you know, hidden away than even in the past, where it's been significantly hidden away and people have complained about that. But
yep.
Jack Hughes went down hard into the boards in St. Louis. It was, you know, no one's fault, really, just like a bad play, unlucky fall there. And then he actually played another shift, but was hit on that shift and then did not come back out for the rest of the game. Obviously a huge concern, especially magnified when Nico Hischier is out of the lineup till at least the end of this road trip. But the Devils found a way in Chicago. But take us through, you know, Minnesota and St. Louis first.
All right. So back on Thursday, November 2nd, Jack Hughes was healthy and the Devils were playing Minnesota. Now the Devils, the previous Sunday, won their first game against Minnesota in like their previous 9 tries. Mm-hmm. So the Devils did a surprising thing in Minneapolis on Thursday night. They put the game to Minnesota right away. And it wasn't long before Alexander Holtz puts back a great feed from Nathan Bastian to make it 1-0 early in the game. Michael McLeod redirects a feed from Mr. Palat back door to make it 2-0. And then early in the second period, shortly after Marco Rossi went to the box for elbowing John Marino, Timo Meier one-touched a fantastic feed from Mr. Jack Hughes for a power play goal. It's 3-0. You're feeling good. You're feeling mm-hmm. fine. You're feeling fresh. And then it got interesting.
Yeah.
So a little bit just before halftime of the period, and yes, I'm calling it halftime. Just deal with it, guys. The Devils are killing a penalty. Dougie Hamilton's in the box for hooking Matt Boldy. Kirill Kaprizov fires a shot past 4 players and Vitek Vanacek. Goes in the net. It's a seeing eye shot. It's 3-1. You're thinking, all right, so what? And then early in the third period, Marco Rossi gets behind, well, everybody. He gets behind everybody, including the goalie. And Boldy gets him the puck somehow, and Rossi taps it in to make it 3-2. And all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, good. It's a 1-goal game with about 18-plus minutes to go in this period on the road against a team that the Devils have not had a lot of success against. But fortunately, there was a good sign. You see, Kalen Addison decided, I'm going to high-stick Curtis Lazar. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, Jesper Bratt, who already had assists on the second and third goals, he hammers in a shot, makes it 4-2, and you're starting to feel good again. Hey, less than 5 minutes to go, up by 2. Sounds great. And then Vanacek was otherwise having a good game, Dan. He was really doing well. He was A-okay. Those first 2 goals against, you can't fault him for. This one, mm-hmm. Jacob Middleton throws up a low shot. Somehow, some way, this puck hits off of Vanacek's butt of the stick.
Yeah,
and sneaks through his legs. Now, it could have been argued that there was a Wild player standing on the stick, but Ruff did not challenge for interference. And even so, this puck was just sliding on the ice. Like, this was like, I understand why Vanacek was trying to swallow it, but bro, that was not the way to do it. And so that little mishap made it 4-3, and the Devils are holding on for dear life. And then thankfully they get bailed out by here's the sequence of events, Dan. Jack Hughes is gonna block a shot, and he's gonna push the puck out of the zone and try to push it up ice for a potential empty net breakaway. Matt Boldy decides, I'm gonna tackle this man.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Boldy gets called for this. Literally right off the faceoff for the power play, Kirill Kaprizov says, I'm gonna stick my stick blade in Tyler Toffoli's face. And it's like the most obvious high stick. It's an open ice in literally 10 feet from the referee. Easy high sticking call.
I love Dean Evason's facial expression here, by the way. Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah, Dean Evason, of the head coach of the Wild, he was definitely not happy about this loss.
Just complete head and hands.
No, and Ryan Hartman said a word I can't use on this show, but he said they got to get it together. And it's stuff like this that counts, because if you look in the standings, the Wilder, they're not on the right side of things. And while it's still early in the season, Dan, you don't want to be behind the St. Louis's. You don't want to be behind the Winnipeg's. You don't want to be behind all the other teams that are not named Dallas and Colorado in that division. So it's very important that you don't blow opportunities 4-3 with a gift, that you take two backbreaking penalties to the point where the Devils could have just sat on the puck for 5-on-3. And then they decided, nah, Dougie Hamilton said, nope, I'm going to hammer this in. And he did exactly that. He hammered it in for a power play goal to give Brett his fourth point of the night, another point for Jack Hughes. And the Devils power went on to win
3-for-5, right?
3-for-5. So, you know, boosting them numbers, baby. You know, Devils were otherwise did a very good job controlling the game. They outshot the Wild 38-25. They drew 5 calls, conceded only 2. The Devils were the superior team, and if it wasn't for Vanecek blowing it late in the third, you know, this could have been a more comfortable end. And once again, that seems to be the theme with the New Jersey Devils so far in this young season. Bad starts and really dramatic endings.
Yeah.
And this absolutely continued the next night into St. Louis, where the disaster struck. Jack Hughes split the D, toe picked on the ice trying to collect his own rebound. Goes hard in the boards, crashes his right shoulder, not his left shoulder. That was the dislocated one 2 seasons ago. So
the Lazon one. We all know him.
Yeah, the Jared Lazon one. In any case,
Jeremy. I guess we don't know him well enough.
I don't care. The point is, is that we now have knowledge. On Saturday night, Elliot Friedman kind of helped the Devils fandom breathe a little bit by saying the worst case scenario didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But he said he's going to miss some time. And then today, before the Chicago game, it was announced he's going to be week to week. It has been pointed out the last time he was announced as week to week, he only missed 4 games. So week to week could mean 1 week. It could mean 4 weeks. It could be somewhere in between. We shall see. But he's already been sent back to New Jersey. Obviously, we did not play in Chicago tonight, and he will not play in Colorado on Tuesday. But let's get back to St. Louis, Dan. And sleepy, I think, is the best way I would call this performance.
We're kind of rattled, right?
Rattled by the injury. But even so, that first period was another, you know, the Devils did play the night before and St. Louis did not. And that was definitely apparent in the first and second, for stretches in the first and second period.
By the way, I want to say just real quick here, a real point of strength for the Devils last year was their performance in the second half of back-to-backs. And this year they have just not had it. There's been a complete turnaround in terms of the second out of back-to-backs. I think all of their regulation losses are under those conditions, no?
No. They lost to Florida, remember?
That's right. Okay.
The first back-to-back, I know what you're talking about. They lost in a shootout to Arizona. Mm-hmm. That could have been argued. That could have been a win. The Washington game where, you know, they've only played like, you know, a period.
Yep.
And then this one where so the second period, the first half of the second period was pretty much all Blues, and the Devils were both rattled and just like exhausted. Jake Neighbors is free down the middle. He puts it in past to Kira Schmid, who otherwise had a good game, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I will defend Schmid in this one. Then Kevin Hayes gets a third rebound attempt where Brendan Smith and Jonas Siegenthaler are caught looking like statues on the play. He made it 2-0 just before halfway through the second. This actually got Smith and Siegenthaler benched for the remainder of the period, which is a bold move considering you just played last night. You're now down 2 goals. You're going to bench 2 defensemen, but it was totally deserved, Dan. Totally. Mm-hmm. I will defend Smith here briefly. He did get called for 2 penalties in this game were absolute garbage. Like he accidentally crashed into the net and was called for delay of game for it. That was nonsense. And then he got hit with an embellishment after being tripped up because the referee, Dan O'Rourke or Furman South, they didn't want to give a penalty power play to the Devils late. But that's my only defense of Smith. He earned the benching otherwise. Like you have to do your job in front of the net. You got to help your goalie out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Devils do get a break. Jordan Binnington played really well in this game. They did get a breakthrough where Curtis Lazar scored his first of the season for the Devils. Can't remember if this is his first as a Devil, but it's the first of this season. He falls down and puts home a puck that Holtz one touched to make it 2-1. And then the Devils try their best to get back into the game in the third period. They played a very good third period. Binnington robbed Meyer. He robbed Bratt. He robbed Bastion. He robbed Lazar. He robbed Holtz. He robbed everybody. He stopped all 16 shots. Devils, you know, pull the goalie. Kevin Hayes sinks in an empty netter. And then for some reason, Ruff pulls the goalie again. And, you know, Rob Thomas puts it in for the empty netter. I can understand if, you know, you were confident that you could score two goals in like a minute, but given how Binnington was playing, I wouldn't have done that. But nevertheless, you lose 4-1. But again,
it doesn't, you know, that's way overshadowed. All of that is very minor.
Yeah, you're more concerned about Jack Hughes. Yeah. Like if the Devils drag the game into overtime, you go, yeah, cool. And they could have. I mean, it was a 2-1 game until the final 2 minutes. So, but you know, you trade a loss for Jack Hughes's health any day of the week and twice on Sunday. He's been that important for the team. He's the top scorer in the league, Dan.
Yeah.
He's number one in the world in October. He was the best hockey player on the planet Earth.
Oh, it's an insurmountable loss. They're going to have to find a way to surmount. And they had to start doing that tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. So ahead of the game, they did call up Max Willman from Utica. You may remember him as the one PTO player from camp. He actually started off well in Utica with 4 goals, 3 assists and
7 points in 7 games.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a Comets team that's not exactly healthy either. Mm-hmm. The organization's been hit pretty hard because now you have Hughes, Heischer. You also have Thomas Noshek on the shelf, so to speak. Colin Miller has yet to make his NHL debut because of an injury. And then down in the minors, you have Hataka, who's I think he just came back recently, but Halonen is still out. Valen just went out.
I think Nemec is hurt too, right?
No, he got hurt at the beginning of the season, but he came back. Okay. So unless something happened tonight, I think he's all right. Okay. But, you know, they don't have Nico Dawes still. And Adirondack, you know, they've been shuffling players back and forth for, you know, player needs as well. So, I mean, the injury bug has hit the Devils and also the division pretty hard, too. I mean, Adam Fox got need-on-need by Sebastian Aho. Shesterkin missed the game because of soreness. Carter Hart's out for a long time for Philadelphia. You know, Adam Pellick for the Islanders before the Islanders completely got ripped apart by in a terrible comeback loss to whomever they lost to the Capitals. There you go. The point is here, the Devils aren't going to get any sympathy from anybody. Lots of people get hurt. It sucks. Willman gets called up, and believe it or not, Willman made an impact in this game.
Yeah. Willman scored a breakaway goal off a turnover, unassisted goal for Willman to take the lead for the Devils at 2-1. But that was only after old friend and MVP Taylor Hall scored a goal less than 2 minutes into the game for the Blackhawks. He's kind of just sitting there alone. A bad rebound falls right to him, and he does what he does best. Just, you know, pots an easy one. That is a goal for Chicago. But again, in this game, we needed people to step up. We needed Mercer to step up. We needed, you know, people playing center, the fourth liners to step up. And
yeah,
I would say they did. I would say finally they found a way to get there.
Yeah. First and foremost, it's Vitek Vanacek. Like, yes, the rebound allowed to Hall. Yeah. Okay. I wish he gloved the puck, but nobody was around Hall either. It's a 5-on-5 situation, guys. Cover the former MVP guys. It's not hard.
Right.
But Vanacek made an absolute save of the season candidate on Jason Dickinson late in the first period. He made some big time saves on Connor Bedard, on Hall on a one timer. He made big saves all the way down to the end here. I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks racked up 34 shots on net in this one. And, you know, granted, the Devils were definitely the better team in the run of play, but that first period was just not a good first period for the Devils, even if they led after it. because Chicago was controlling most of the play. I was very frustrated considering that, you know, the Blackhawks played the night prior and the Devils were rested. So it's like, guys, you need to jump on them. You can't just let them get into it. But thankfully, whatever Ruff said in the second period, you know, dropping in the second period was pretty much all Devils all the time. But Vanacek made tons of great saves. Chicago was officially credited for, they were only credited for 6 high danger chances in 5-on-5, 8 in all situations. But, you know, you just need one to go in to be punished. And one of them did, Ryan Donato, late in the third period, because nobody wanted to, you know, because of a turnover behind the net. But Vanacek was fantastic. There's been a lot of criticism, deserved criticism of the goaltenders, but out of these 3 games, the goaltending was not the problem. And Vanacek played fantastic. You finally got a goal out of Dawson Mercer. Finally, he gets a power play goal, which is actually impressive because Chicago's penalty kill has actually been one of the few good things that's about the Blackhawks this season. He gets one, and then the Devils did everything but score a goal in the second period. Curtis Lazar finally breaks the deadlock, you know, gets the insurance goal that was absolutely needed, thanks to an awesome play by John Marino, who also had a great game. Marino was fantastic on the ice. And while Mahischer has been out, Michael McLeod has been asked to play well above his standing in a top 6 role. He had another good game. He sailed in the empty net goal literally at the last second. He's done a lot of hard work. He's been asked to be more offensive. He's put in that work, Dan. I you know, he's still for the most part a fourth liner, but he's on a heater of some kind because he is rising to the challenge. Call him the bread man if you'd like.
I mean, even that wasn't without drama because the Devils had an empty net goal disallowed for an offside as well.
Yeah, Toffoli was caught offside. Like, it was a brilliant pass from Pratt to McLeod to Toffoli, but Toffoli was off.
Definitely, he was offside. But, you know, something is very dramatic about these Devils, and every game is an emotional roller coaster. But I'll take 7-3-1. I will absolutely take that kind of start, given the injuries that they've had to face already.
Yeah.
And you know, next up is Colorado. I'm not sure how that one's gonna go, but they're obviously a huge measuring stick for the Devils.
They are, and they are. Like, Colorado's a team that, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, they're perfect at home, so that's good. They're 7-3. That's also good, but that last loss was a 7-0 loss to Las Vegas that makes you question. I mean, Las Vegas literally has yet to lose a game in regulation, so it's possible that they are just that dang good. But, you know, it's the sort of loss that you just make you go, okay, you guys are definitely not perfect. You know, maybe if the Devils get lucky. Because remember, the Devils did beat Colorado twice last season, and the first one was a notorious home game where Jack Hughes scored literally the only goal of the game. It was a 1-0 goalie duel, which I don't think anybody expected given the amount of, you know, offensive talent on both sides.
I remember one well.
You know, I'm of the opinion if the Devils can drag a point out of this, great. Just don't get more injured. You know, you can't afford it at this point. You know, Jesper Bratt, you know, I wish he shot the puck a lot more, but he is definitely part of the engine of this offense with Hughes and Hischier out, and that was apparent. Meyer, you know, I understand some of the people who matter are getting frustrated. It's like, where's the goals? Where's the attack? Like, he hit the post, like, he almost dented the post today. And he got robbed a couple times. But Meyer is definitely putting in the work. The goals will eventually come. Palat's another guy where, again, you're asking where the production is, but he's doing a lot of good, hard work out there. And Mercer finally got a goal, so you hope that he can start getting more points. But you notice that those are the guys that still have to carry the day. You're not going to get a breakaway goal from Max Willman every night. You're not going to get a one touch feed through the legs by Curtis Lazar. And Alexander Holtz has been firing the puck super well. I'll say that much. He's stepped up as well. But you know, he's still seen as a bottom 6 player, and therefore he's going to get those types of minutes. You can't lean on him for offensive purposes, but you know, that's going to be where it's going to come from until Hischier and or Hughes get back and get back into form too. It's not like they're going to come back from injury and be immediately great right away.
I kind of liked him with McLeod, honestly. They're both fairly tenacious this year. They're very, you know, they're sniffing out pucks better than they were. Holt seems to have upped his foot speed significantly to be able to do that. And I appreciate the work that's been put in there. And, you know, we kind of debated the merits of putting Holtz on lower lines, but it seems that with McLeod stepping up there's less of a difference offensively between these lines than there had been in the past. Obviously, Jack Hughes is a machine, but even still, we're able to see some goals get generated by the bottom six, and not only in 5-on-5 play, but only, you know, also on the power play.
Exactly. I mean, the one power play goal tonight was by the second unit, which has been, you know, a little weaker on paper given the losses. But, you know, that's exactly what you need. And then that's what you need in an 82 game season anyway. Even if you did have Heischer and he was perfectly healthy, you're going to have nights where you're on the road. It's the third game of a 4-game road trip. It's the third game in 4 nights. And some guys are just not going to have it for one reason or another. So credit to the Devils after a bad first period. And I got to tell you, Dan, Lindy Ruff really has to fix his game prep here because, you know, Chicago, you know, if it wasn't for Vanecek, you know, if it's 2-2 at the end of the first, this is a very different game. But again, the Devils corrected the script, so to speak, in the second period, even if they didn't score. Mm-hmm. You know, they exerted their will, and which is exactly what you need. And if you're going to go get results out of Colorado, or if you're going to get another, you know, revenge over Washington on Friday, which is the other game this coming week, then you need all hands on deck to, you know, you can't have any passengers. You need to get a couple shots from guys. You need to have the forecheck. I like Willman's tenacity tonight. I think he's more than earned another game. So we'll see if he can repeat that, but you need that type of stuff from everybody. Even Kevin Ball was throwing his weight around a lot more than usual. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think the Devils understand this is a different situation. You know, good that you beat Chicago. You should be beating the Chicagos of the world. But if you can go get results against Colorado and Washington this week, I think the league will take notice of that. This team's a lot more than just 86-13 and, you know, a power play. Like this team can compete. And, you know, we have the evidence of that. They got two wins in a row over Minnesota. And the St. Louis game was a Jordan Binnington mess up away from a tie game and a point there, too. So, you know, I can't complain about the results. Please get better soon, Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
That's kind of the long and short of it.
It's quite important. And again, the goalies have been stepping up. And I think the team did get over the initial shock and understood that the mission is to, you know, not only just stay above water, but prove that you're a good team, just like you said. You can't just be two players. And this is your opportunity to go through adversity in this way for the first time. Better to go through this now than in the playoffs, for example. Oh, yeah. But that being said, it would be remiss if I did not acknowledge some former Devils who are now playing for a different team, John. And I just love this because it's been truly astonishing to watch. But the San Jose Sharks, I just want to take a moment to appreciate the fact that they played two games in a row where they allowed 10 or more goals. They're the first team to do that since 1965. Featuring former Devils Mackenzie Blackwood, Fabian Zetterlund, and Nikita Akhatiuk. And I can't believe this, John. They're 0-9-1. Mm-hmm. They have scored, 13 goals in the season and surrendered 20 in the last two games. You have to think maybe Jack Hughes comes back for that December 1st game.
Well, I hope he comes back well before then, Dan.
Agreed.
But to your point, they have 12 goals for. The Hughes family has more goals or more points than the entire Sharks roster right now. And, you know, this roster, it's definitely not good. But, you know, there's a huge difference between you're the worst team in the league and you are setting historical, you know, feats. You know, again, as you said, first time since 1965 that you've given up 10 goals in a game back to back to, if I recall correctly, Vancouver and Pittsburgh. A Pittsburgh team that blew it so badly against Anaheim earlier this week, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. I'm infuriated for that loss for them, and I'm not even a Penguins fan.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they absolutely stomped them out. And you just look at that roster beyond just, you know, at one point, Mackenzie Blackwood did have a better save percentage than Schmid and Vanecek. So, you know, that tells you how many shots the Sharks are allowing. And, you know, some of these names, you know, are definitely guys who are, you know, for the future, like a William Eklund and a Thomas Bordeleau and Nikolai Nizov, among others. There's definitely some players on this roster where you're just like, yeah, we're just learning that you just can't be around anymore. You know, you just do not have it. And, you know, this roster is just a whole bunch of shots in the dark and a bunch of maybes. Like, it makes Chicago look a lot stronger. Like, the Chicago team tonight, I was looking at the stats before tonight's game. You know, Chicago's defense is one of the worst in the league, and their offense is actually one of the lightest in the league just because they get pinned back so often. And we got to see that from the Devils eventually. They finally got Taylor Hall back, though, you know, and if they can get pucks in space, you know, an Andreas Athanasiou or Ryan Donato or Nick Foligno at age 36 can punish you along with Bedard and Hall. Like, Chicago has guys.
Mm-hmm.
This team has no guys. This Philip Zadina terminated his contract to bet on himself.
Yeah.
And he's sitting at 2 goals and 18 shots and less than 15 minutes per game. We talk about betting on yourself. He went bust somehow. And yet at the same time, 2 goals puts him on tie for the second most goals on the team. The Swole Swede is your leading goal scorer
number
on this team.
One.
With three.
Legend.
He has 2 power play goals. He's their power play ace, Dan. The Swole Swede. I almost feel like the Devils should trade back for him just to, you know, say, you know, kind of like with Bastion, like, hey, let's get you out of this situation. Okay. You know, here's a towel, you know, here's a warm drink, you know,
yeah.
Tell us about it. You know, it's going to be
they
okay.
Giving up for him.
I don't know. Give like him Chris Tierney back.
Yeah.
Chris Tierney back. It's not like Lindy Ruff is playing him.
That'll save things. Well, he is playing him now.
Well, he has to. He has no choice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point. Like, but his first game was something like 4 minutes or something. It's almost like rough. Why do you even play him? Yeah. Why dress him? But whatever.
But even still, better stretch, you know, given the conditions than expected. Hopefully they can continue the good play and find a way to get points, like you said, in Colorado and against Washington. You know, we just wait and see until Hughes and Heischer get back. And until that point happens, it's nice to see McLeod stepping up. Hopefully Mercer can continue to score goals like he did tonight. And we'll just have to see what happens.
And most importantly, hope Vanacek and Schmid return to something resembling NHL average. They're on their way now, so that's good. But keep it up, you know. No. Cut down on the bad goals. Cut that out, like the salt and the cholesterol and the other things I probably shouldn't be eating. Nevertheless,
Fair enough.
You know, the Devils are in a position. They're exactly where you would hope they would be. And we'll see how things transpire over the next couple of weeks. Again, hope the guys get healthy. And more importantly, hope they continue to put in good efforts to get results. So, you know, they're not finding themselves by the end of November going, they have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting once the games really pick up against the Metropolitan Division, especially against the top teams, when they, you know, I would say get really important. But it feels like we're a long way off from that happening. So
yeah, we're about 2 weeks away. Yeah.
Let's bank some points and let's hope for the best with the injury. So thank you all, as always, for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Let's go, Devils.
Go, Devils.
See ya.